Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome back to Whiskey Congress. We have another whiskey to review and talk about. This is Big House Straight Bourbon Whiskey. 45%, so 90 proof. Small batch, aged in oak, obviously, is a bourbon. Where's it out of again? It's out of Kentucky, Louisville, right?
Yep.
I think it's all right. It's good, actually. Before we got on the air, you described it as a souped up Jim Beam. And I think that's
it's a rye heavy, bourbon. And the flavor is good. It's not gonna blast you in the face with a lot of distinction, in my opinion. It's weird, but there's almost like a chocolate flavor somewhere in the middle, and it's a little bit different, but there's some spices in there. And I think some of that is the rye and, that kind of leathery sort of, man candle taste to it. Okay. If you had to make a candle that smells like a man, it'd be, leather and sawdust and
gunpowder,
whatever.
Right.
It's got that feel to it a little bit, but it's not bad. It comes in at 45%, which is a 90 proof. Not bad. I'd give it, 89.
Okay, I was going to give it an 88. So,
We're always within a point of each other.
Usually.
Which is interesting.
It is.
What's the price point on this?
About 25, 30 bucks, somewhere in that range.
All right.
So, not a steal, but definitely not something I'm regretting.
No, it's
it does not win the Lusty Claw Award. I love how you react to that every time I say that name.
It's so terrible.
All right.
Good, that bottle's hidden. It's ridiculous.
A great bottle.
It's a great bottle, but I'm glad I can't see it from the vantage point.
Good. All right, so before we get into anything new, we got to wrap up or at least continue with the saga of Jesse Smollett.
Oh, Jesse.
All right, so, now everything's unraveled, right? Anyone still clinging to... He reported this honestly, delusional, and they're just a fan of the show.
They've got a picture of the brothers at a hardware store buying ski masks and rope and gloves
in really high definition.
Right,
that video was.
That's an amazing camera.
That really is
an amazing camera in that Ace
Hardware,
wherever the hell it was.
Chicago, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying this the store, but it just, I try not to jump to conclusions.
Right.
But it didn't feel right to me from the beginning. As soon as I read the fact pattern on this, 2 a.m., he's coming from Subway. He had just flown in from someplace else. And, Jesse Smollett is not a guy that the average MAGA supporter, Trump supporter, is going to recognize, right? Like, how many people...
Probably not an overlap between MAGA and Empire watches.
How many people that voted for Trump watch Empire? So, there's that. And then... the idea that they're going to be able to, know him by name or character or whatever, and then that they're going to track his movements from the time he gets to the airport to do this premeditated attack, which it would need to be because, they've got a rope and bleach with them. Like, none of it made sense from the beginning. A lot of conservative pundits and talking heads immediately jumped on it and didn't buy it and said, if it's true, it's terrible, but... It sounds like bullshit. A situation like this, I think it's not smart to come out on either side just to say I'm drawing a line in the sand so that I can say that I'm right once it's all said and done.
Right.
I think that you have to let these things play out to a degree because just weird shit happens, right? We've seen weird shit happens, but looking at the fact pattern, it felt funky from the beginning. And, my gut was right. And as it kind of started to unravel, you saw just how it just made no, it didn't make sense. And it was just, it was really beginning to unravel. And then last night, or, you know, when it all comes down, you're seeing video of the guys at the store. You're seeing, you know, you're hearing, you're, more and more stuff is leaking from the police. And it just, he made it up.
Not only did he make it up.
Not only did he make it up, but I mean, he
orchestrated it. Exactly. When I'm with you, when this first started coming down, the story didn't seem right. It just seemed a little too perfect from a victim standpoint of.
Except and then for the guy part said, where you did want to talk about how brave he was.
No, I talked about what he said on his interview, and he said he fought back. Now, the fact that he made the whole fucking thing up hurts that narrative, fine. But initially, again, it just didn't seem right. I was convinced it was going to be a situation where he got into
an... He hit me in my lip, and I punched him right back.
I don't believe that's a quote from me.
That's a quote from Jesse.
Okay. Well, so if this was a thing where he wound up in a bad situation, got beat up, tried to spin a story, that would be bad. But this is levels worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is orchestrating an attack, and now it appears that the letter that was sent to him with the crushed up white powder that ended up being aspirin or something might have likely been done by him.
Yep.
And that opens up a whole new arena, right? That would have to be a federal offense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're mailing a powder intended to look like anthrax or something like it. So, I mean, the trouble he's in now, if the feds choose to pursue this, could make life a whole lot worse for Mr. Smollett. Whole lot worse. Like club fed kind of stuff. And it's hard for me to feel sorry for him because, again, this wasn't a guy who panicked.
Feel sorry for him? What do you mean hard? Why would you feel sorry for him at all?
Anyone going to prison, I feel sorry for unless they.
I mean, really... He brought this 100% on himself.
Absolutely true.
This 100% on himself. This isn't an unjust system.
No, it is not.
That is oppressing him and holding him down. This is 100% orchestrated by him. Listen, this is not some poor kid that was, you know, just trying to make a buck so he could feed his family or so he could buy a pair of pants.
Right.
I mean, this is a guy who was making $60,000 an episode. 65,
yeah.
You know, I mean, he was financially, he was fine. Obviously, you want to get as much money as you can.
Sure.
But to the lengths that he went, it's just completely unacceptable. Now, I'll argue... You know, there's plenty of pundits out there who are conservative pundits that are being hypercritical of him. You know, James Wood, Larry Elder, and I mean, they are, you know, relentless. Just every tweet coming from them is about Jesse Smollett and how it was a hoax, and you know, it's just this hurts the credibility of other victims. Like, we can pause that conversation. Okay. I mean, like, just this whole thing that this is going to hurt the credibility of other victims. It's not good, but let's just be honest.
I think the next time a black gay actor who's on a hit serial but not making as much money as he wants cries wolf, we'll be suspicious.
Well, I mean, I just think...
I'm sorry, that's true.
But I think in reality, for a lot of victims, of these actual victims
right.
of actual hate crimes, especially when they're black, and especially when you add on the layer of LGBTQ, there's usually some suspicion or there's not a ton of believability. A lot of people don't trust them, right? A lot of people don't trust that it actually happened. A lot of people feel that they're being dramatic, that it didn't happen, that they're looking for attention. You know, this particular instance, it caught he's a celebrity, and it caught the eye of other celebrities, it caught the eye of politicians. You know, Kamala Harris, she just flat out pretended like she didn't even know what people were talking about. She put out a tweet that said, "Oh, this is a modern day, lynching," and then people like, "Well, he's, you know, obviously, I mean, this is not going the way he thought it was. What do you think of it now? And what do you take back your tweet?" She's like, "What tweet?" She just flat out is just like denying the tweet. So,
good thing there's no electronic record of that, Kamala.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't. Does this hurt the credibility of you know future victims? I don't know how much credibility people give them to begin with. I think that he kind of stood out because of his, you know, B-level fame, you know, in the fact that he's been pretty outspoken against Trump and everything else. But, I mean, there's a lot of victims out there, gay and black, of actual hate crimes who, one, don't report because they don't believe that they'll be believed, or do report and nothing happens with it because they're not believed. So I don't think that this really hurts something that's already, you know,
right.
Not overly.
It doesn't break something that's already broken.
Right.
But what it did do for sure was divert hundreds of hours of policing towards something.
That's fine. I mean, but let's be honest. It's not the first time we've seen somebody cry wolf.
Oh, no.
Right? Sorry. I mean, it's not. And I mean, I think you have the girl in New Jersey that you have the two kids. I think they were at Sacred Heart where she accused them of rape. The kids got kicked out of school. And, you know, she ended up going to jail for a year. There was a girl down in Texas who accused two men of kidnapping her and dragging her out to the woods and raping her for 3 days. Then she pops up in a church and, you know, has this whole story and that whole thing falls apart. This is not new. This is not uncommon. I don't think that there should be a punishment any greater for him. Now, once you lay on the federal layer with the mail and everything else, that gets a little bit different. But I'm not going to call for this guy to get, you know, the book thrown at him anymore. Like, listen, the girl who cried rape, who got the two kids kicked out of school, who, you know, who have to deal with this for the, you know, the rest of their lives, even though that they weren't guilty. You know, her punishment, she had to go to jail for a year. Jussie Smollett, go to jail for a year. You know, the girl down in Texas, hers was a little bit worse. I think she got like a 3-year sentence. She'll probably serve a year and a half. You know, you get him somewhere between a year or a year and a half or something along those lines, then I'm okay with it.
Like, my prediction is he will plead out to something that involves no jail time. He'll pay a huge ass fine and then, you know, community service and probation. My guess is that they will not. I mean, I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong. I actually completely agree with what you're saying. My prediction of what will happen is that I just can't. I can't believe that his lawyers won't be able to get him a better deal than.
Yeah, I mean, and they probably will. I mean, but if you're asking me what should happen to him,
should happen
jail for a year.
I'm fine with that.
You know, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, because the problem is, all it did was create more division. When we didn't, at a time when we really didn't need it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as soon as it happened, people immediately chose sides. You know, your conservatives tried to say, yeah, well, hope this isn't true. Hope this doesn't happen to him. If it did happen, it's terrible, but I don't believe it. And we're immediately suspect. And listen, and this is where, you know, the credibility of your mainstream media, whether it's CNN or ABC, you know, Robin Roberts puts him on TV and just, you know, she's so sympathetic and empathetic to his plight. And she's just giving him a platform to talk about, you know, hate and, you know, coming together and all this other stuff.
Asking him questions in such a way as to make it very easy for him.
You know, I mean, she, you know, just throwing softballs out there at him. And then Breitbart is sitting there the whole time like, none of this makes sense. None of this makes sense. This is not how any of this works. You know, there's a great Geico commercial about, you know, social media and you know, these old ladies putting pictures up on the wall. This is not Facebook. This is not how it works. And, you know, Breitbart sitting there calling it out and the Washington Examiner calling it out. And all the conservative pundits are just like, this is bullshit. Flashing with a bright light. And no one wants to acknowledge them, right? Because they're conservative. So that means that they have to be racist and they have to be against this guy because, oh, he's black and gay. So that means that they have to hate him. So no way that they're going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Black gay celebrity. That's the third, the third box.
You know, and I'm sitting here just like, I agree with them. This story's bullshit. Right? And maybe shame on me for not having the balls to come out and say, this is bullshit.
I think
the lesson here is, we don't have to pick sides, people. We don't have to pick sides. We can sit there and actually let things play out a little bit. You know, the idea that, like, well, this came out immediately in the media, so I believe everything that I just learned in the last 30 seconds. Right? Like, criminal cases, there's plenty of facts to come out now. The way... I just think that people overreacted on both sides. The people who were doubtful were on the right side this time around, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be right every time.
Right. No, actually, Steve, I think I have no regrets with my my history with this because I was supportive of someone who claimed that they were attacked until I had a reason to be suspicious, which was pretty quickly. When it became clear, my ears were up, but again, benefit of the doubt goes to the, you know, person making the claim. And then when the wall comes crumbling down, I'm not digging in. I'm like, dude, you fucked yourself. And, you know, you're on your own. I mean, the thing about this is the mayor, I'm sorry, not the mayor, the chief of police said that this, the only way this gets fixed is if Jesse comes out and
comes clean and apologizes.
I don't see that happening.
No.
But
I mean, he's going to double down on it and, you know, talk about justice and mistreatment and blah, blah, blah.
And that's probably the one way he's going to get fucked and end up in prison if he won't back off.
I mean, and it's, you know, a friend of mine texts me, a friend of mine from Youngstown, and he is a avid resistor.
Okay.
Hates everything Trump. He's, you know, white, right, liberal. You know, he went down to South America when he was younger and was, I could argue, was radicalized to a degree.
All right.
And he sent me a text today and said, this is a bad day for resistors.
Sure.
And okay. I replied to him and I said, well, the good news is...
a bad week.
Well, I said, the good news is that it's not true. Like, I mean... It would be even worse if that this actually happened, if that the hate and the anger and the animosity was so bad that those who support Trump were so blatant that they would actually do this on this level, right? So the reality is, like, actually it sucks, but it's just a reminder that we can't be as obsessed with our political ideologies as people are, right? If you're right. gonna sit there and you're gonna dig in. Right, and you're gonna say, "Well, I'm a man of principle, and I believe this, blah blah blah." Like, you're not helping anything by digging in as far as you are, right? Like, this country was built on compromise, right? And a lot of that compromise didn't favor people who look like me.
I was gonna say, but three-fifths of the people,
right? It's just like, well, we're not gonna. But the point is, like, the country was built on compromise, so you have to open your mind. You have to open your thought process to that. And if you're not willing to do that, if all you feel is that everything that I say and believe and do is right, and anyone who opposes me is against me, and I don't want anything to do with those people who are against me, and my only mission in life is to convert those people to my way right. of thinking, then we're not going to fucking get anywhere. We're not.
I mean, true. I'm afraid, though, we're not going to get anywhere. But at least when you are, you could not have been smacked in the face with reality more than what has happened in this case, right? I mean, the videos of the guys buying the shit in the Ace Hardware, you know, it really did shine a light on the world we live in today and how stuff like this 10, 15 years ago, if you wanted to stage or you know, cry wolf on something like this 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, probably get away with it because there probably isn't a camera in that.
No, not that clear.
There's no, and there's no... That the clarity of the camera just cracked me up. Like, okay, one book, penis enlargement pumps, and me. This sort of thing is my bag, baby. Signed by Austin Powers. I mean, it was that bad.
Oh, that's great.
All right, man. Can we move on?
Yeah.
Because the story that I think is going to get swept under the rug over this, for lack of a better word, Hollywood scandal, is Christopher Hassan, a Coast Guard veteran, who apparently wanted to kill a whole lot of Democrats, preferably ones with dark skin. And he had the arsenal. He was apparently seeking to do it. Thankfully, he was stopped.
Right.
But this was, I mean, an attempted mass assassination attempt, right? Or at least that's the accusation. We should be not rushed to judgment.
Okay. All right. I mean, allegedly. Okay, fine. I mean, the dude had a bucket of HGH. He had a, you know,
An arsenal.
In fact, arsenal. When I saw the arsenal. Like, it's crazy. I mean, because, you know, it just like, well... Because someone asked me, I was talking about this with someone at work, and I said, well, why would he have opioids? I was just like, well, he's assuming that he's going to go launch this attack. He's assuming that he may take, like, a gunshot wound, so he's going to need a pain reliever, and you want something, you get shot, you're going to need something more than fucking leave.
That's what fentanyl is for.
Right. So, you know, I mean, it's a scary situation. He apparently was a huge follower of the guy in, what was it, Norway, who blew up the building and then killed, like, 69 people back in 2012.
Was it Norway?
Bedford, one of those countries. Okay, man. I don't know.
Like, I think it was. Okay, that wasn't racist at all.
It's funny when the other side does it. But, yeah, it just, it was, it's just, it's really a scary thing. And, you know, the article I read went through and it documented people who were, who kind of patterned themselves, similar to this guy, who followed the manifesto of the guy in Norway, whose name is escaping me, but it's... It's Vandervik or something like that.
Okay.
But, you know, the scary thing, you know, they go through, like, listen, he's not the first to you know, read this guy's manifesto and kind of follow what the guy put out there. And, you know, there's, we have other examples of people who actually went through with you know, their intended crime, whether they committed right. suicide or were killed or what have you. And I think one, there's two things to this. You can't overreact to this and you can't underreact to this. You can't look at this guy and say, see, that's what all Trump supporters are like, and that's what the GOP is about, and that's what they promote, and this is Donald Trump's fault, he specifically, right? Because this guy is basing his entire thought process on something that happened in 2011.
Right? Well, also, I don't put this sort of thing on Republican politicians and Trump as much as I put it on Rush Limbaugh and Alex Jones and the people who literally spew the same shit. It
shouldn't be put on... Like, listen.
Okay.
When you have a guy, and I really am annoyed. I wish...
when you have someone... The guy from Norway?
Yeah. When you have someone who puts out a manifesto on...
All right. So we got the name now.
Yeah. Anders Breivik.
Okay.
I'm probably butchering
Oslo,
that.
Norway. Or...
Yes. But when you have people who are... You know, looking at, I mean, this guy spent 3 years putting this manifesto together.
Right.
Right. On how to take out the globalists and how to, you know, take out liberals and, you know, all the people promoting multiculturalism and diversity. And, you know, how to basically establish a new world order that is, you know, white European dominant.
Right.
There are multiple people who have looked at this, studied this, and tried to put this into action. So that should trigger some alarms, right? And you need to be...
No pun intended, I trust.
Right, but I mean, you need to be aware of when this happens. I mean, there's, you know, reports that this is, you know, this is the thought process of the guy in Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook happened shortly after this, and if you remember, this guy, Anders Breivik, went and killed, like... A majority of the people that he killed were kids. So, you know, I think you look at something like this and you look at people like this, and while you can't overreact and say this is all of the Trump supporters and everything,
right.
even though this guy is, you know, this guy is, you know, a self-defined white supremacist or a self-described white supremacist and a you know, Nazi sympathizer or what have
right.
you, you can't paint with a broad brush, and so you can't overreact and look at every white person who supports Trump as, you know, the next, you know, homegrown terrorist.
Right.
But at the same time, you can't ignore it either, and you have to say, like, there's, like, this sentiment is there. It's there and it exists, and we have to be aware of it. So I think you can't overreact to it either way, And I think we all have to kind of step back a little bit and say, what is happening around us? Who are the people around us? Are they saying things that should make us, you know, weary or that we should keep an eye out on them? Just, I mean, because every time this happens, all the neighbors are like, that's amazing. I can't believe that happened. He was such a nice guy, right? And you have to wonder, and maybe they were. Maybe they kept all this stuff.
No, I mean, not always. Like, the asshole that shot up Parkland. I mean, everyone was like, we were warning about this guy.
Right, well, that's
the police came
to
him 19 times, we didn't do shit, and this happened.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, where you just, everyone's got to pay attention, right? Like, this is the society that we live in. Like, you have to be aware of the people that you surround yourself with, that you're surrounded by, whether you choose it or not choose it. And then it kind of works its way up the chain, right? Like, we have to be aware as neighbors and as people who live in this society, and then... You know, law enforcement, they have to do their job.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, the whole, and I don't want to go into the whole gun control conversation right now, but one of the biggest things with gun control, do we need any new laws or can we, or what happens if we literally just enforced everything that was in place right now, if we enforced it as is, right? But then we...
I don't think anything this guy had would have been restricted.
No. I don't know what he had. I just saw,
I saw the picture and I looked at it.
I looked at the picture briefly and I didn't like zoom... I didn't zoom in or anything like that, so I couldn't tell you what he had. But what I'm just saying is, if you just enforced the gun control laws now, as they're currently written, at every level, local, county, federal, whatever, but then you flipped it around and said, you know, new gun control measure, I think that it could make an impact, right? I mean, if we just, there's certain things, like...
In this case, I don't see how. Because I'm guessing this guy's a citizen of good standing.
Well, and he was in the Coast Guard. Who knows what he had access to? I don't know.
I looked at the arsenal. It was, I mean, three assault... So I initially looked at it and said, that's a bunch of bolt-action rifles, a couple handguns, and a shotgun. I'm like, this place wouldn't look that different. Then I went, and there's a stack of ARs, and there's ammo cans, and I'm like, okay, that looks a bit different than what you'd find here. But anyway, I'm afraid this story is just going to be washed under the rug in the mainstream media because Jesse...
And part of the good reason, a good reason why is that he didn't kill anybody.
True. This should be a praise to law enforcement, right? They stopped this before it happened.
Right. I don't know how they found him.
I don't either.
In all this, I'm not sure how they found him, but the good news is that they did, and they stopped him before something happened. And the terrifying thing is, he was in Silver Springs, Maryland.
Right.
I mean, I spent a lot of time in that area. You know, I mean, that guy could have popped off. I mean, obviously, he's been amassing this arsenal over the last few years. And, you know, he's had these, I mean, you know, look, I think in the article I read, he started following the guy from Norway in like 2016 or 2017. So, I mean, I could have been in Maryland when this guy decides to lose his shit.
Sure.
You know, I mean, that's a check mark on that goes to, you know, law enforcement for being able to stop him and prevent this from happening, because it was never going to reach the level that he wanted to get it to, where he was going to kill enough people to start and incite a civil war. You know, you figure, I mean, if killing, you know, 70 people in Norway doesn't start it, then the you know, 20 people he might have been able to kill here was definitely not going to do it. But fortunately for those potential families and those potential victims, it didn't come to that.
Right. Well, we'll see. We'll see if it stays in the news. We'll see when more comes down.
I doubt it will. And frankly, I mean, what's...
It is reporting something that was stopped.
Now, what's tricky, though, is... What's tricky is what they charge them with and how long the sentence is. Because I don't think that there's anything there that says you have to be in jail for life. I mean, he had a lot of illegal drugs. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's human growth hormone. And I forget the thing that may actually pin him down the most is the opioids he had.
Right.
Because they were non-prescription. But that might be the thing that is, you know, is the biggest thing.
We don't mind this whole amassing an arsenal and threatening to kill multiple U.S. politicians. But can't have that stuff.
Right. And I don't know. I mean...
And you can't. I'm not defending.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, so it'll be interesting to see what how this all shakes out for him and what he gets ultimately convicted of and how much time he has to serve.
So typically, Steve, I would say that when we're looking for things to talk about, it's pretty even and it's usually stuff coming straight out of the news. You definitely did the heavy lifting for this week's topics. The shit you sent me today. So, all right. First of all, there's a former cop in Philly who was apparently... using his position, you sent it. If you want to run with it, go with it. But fuck.
Did you read it?
I did. Yes.
Wow.
He was like raping male suspects and witnesses and using his power to say, if you say anything, no one will believe you. Apparently, it was like a chain of years of events.
If you remember, we did a show when we were still Steve and Jim Fix the World While Drinking. We did a show about a police officer in Oklahoma, I think his last name was
Holtzclaw. That's right, yeah.
Who was raping...
prostitutes, you know, and prostitutes other women that he arrested, yes.
You know, destitute women that he arrested or picked up on the street or whatever. This is basically that same case, but with a
gender reversal?
Right.
Not gender reversal.
No, a guy raping guys.
Right.
Which is, I mean, and I don't even know how to describe this. I mean, it's... It's disturbing when you read some of the stuff that he was doing. I mean, you know, for years. I mean, they said probably for over a decade. Everything from, you know, he made one of the he made one of a suspect masturbate in front of him, and then he gave him a cigarette. He, you know,
but enough about Louis C.K.
He forced oral sex on another suspect. He, you know, anally raped another suspect. I mean, like, just, I mean, there were multiple examples. I mean, like, there was just a laundry list of just aggressive gay sex rape.
And the article you sent me said why he got fired eventually. And it was for nothing related to
this. Nothing related to raping.
It was like falsifying a report or something like that.
But there wasn't a lot of detail in that. And true. He said he falsified a report. So, I mean, it just...
If that report was, this guy says you raped him and you... Right. It's not funny. Not funny.
But, I mean, it's just... It's... And I point it out because there's, you know, a lot of people are looking at Jussie Smollett and, you know, they're going just like, this is why you have to support the police and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Again, listen, no one is infallible, right? Correct. No one is above reproach. Like, just because you have a badge and a gun, that doesn't mean that you're automatically a good person. It would be great if it was an automatic, but it's not, right? I mean, sometimes you have people with bad intentions that get themselves in positions of power specifically because they have bad intentions, or maybe the power completely warps their thought process and their frame of mind and warps their reality. But you can't just blindly trust anyone.
Right.
Right? You can't blindly trust a black gay actor on a bad show on Fox, and you can't blindly trust a white homicide detective in Philly that apparently wants to rape you.
Right.
Right? I mean, I think that's why, I mean, the people who just say, you know, I mean, because you have people out there who, the funny thing, did you look at you probably didn't look at the comments.
No, but, I did not.
There are people out there are people in the comment section of this story who are like, he's being set up. Like, bro.
Wow, okay.
Like, bro, come on, man. Are you, like, how many Blue Lives Matter shirts do you have? Like, your car must be covered in Blue Lives Matter bumper stickers. I'm
glad I didn't go down the rabbit hole on that.
Yeah, you didn't want to. It took you to a dark place. But I think both those examples of Jussie Smollett and this cop are why you have to just kind of sit back,
detach,
and you can't just grasp at the first headline that you see and say, "All right, I'm owning this." Right now, that being said. Maybe all these stories about this guy raping people are made up.
It's still an allegation.
It's still an allegation, and we don't know. But if I'm going with gut feeling, you know, this guy maybe spent some time at the R. Kelly camp on how to get a date. I don't know.
Well, you know, normally this would be the most fucked up story you would send me in a day. However, not to be outdone by yourself. So the mayor of Port Richey, Florida, Dale Massad, was dealing drugs and shot at a SWAT team.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, actually, yeah, so
good find. This is fucking nuts. So
the warrant was because the charge is that he was illegally practicing medicine.
Right, distributing narcotics through his medical practice.
Right. Well, he had lost his medical license years ago.
Okay.
So he, legally practicing medicine, and he also had a history of domestic violence.
Right.
But I think the charges eventually dropped.
I think it was a he said, she said. In fact, he was charged, she was charged.
Right.
And I think they decided to make it go away.
But they...
And that gets you elected mayor in Port Richey,
right,
Florida.
Right, but somehow this dude is the mayor of Port Richey, Florida, and so they go in to arrest him on the medical practice charge, and, you know, they send a SWAT team in, and he shoots at them, right? And, I mean, now, the amazing thing is that somehow he makes it out alive.
Right.
And, I mean, the remarkable thing is that this guy makes it out alive. Like, you just shot at a SWAT team, so I guess, but it's Port Richey, so...
It's the mayor.
I don't know. I mean, maybe Port Richey doesn't have the best SWAT team.
Apparently they don't.
Maybe they don't have a sniper, or I don't know.
Maybe they had to call the mayor's permission to shoot. Like, can we shoot back? No.
Can we shoot back?
Bang.
Right, like, he's answering the phone, and then it's like, it's loud where you are.
The phone in one hand, Glock in the other.
Right. I just like this, like only in fucking Florida.
There's that. So there are people who call Ohio the Florida of the North, and far too often they're not wrong.
They're not wrong, but part of the problem is that a lot of people from Ohio go to Florida.
End up in Florida, right.
So, but I don't even know if I have commentary on this story, other than and a friend of mine, you know, that I play college football with, who lives down there, he sent me the story. He's like, "Hey, so you know, this might be something to talk about on your podcast. I don't know what to talk about it, but hey, well, could you imagine Frank Jackson just going full Rambo, you know, on a Cleveland SWAT team? Like, fuck it, you're not taking
and
me
living."
Alive. Right, but the funny thing in this, right, and living, but the funny thing in the story is that the guy, like, there was some sort of reference of the guy saying he didn't want to go back to jail. So that means he's been to jail, right?
Like, well, he was arrested for domestic violence. I mean, yeah. Somebody, he didn't go to prison, he wasn't convicted, but he probably spent a couple nights in jail. And here's this is totally, like, should be a smaller part of it, but in addition to all of his other issues, he had a gun allegedly stolen from his truck, and that gun was used in a homicide. Now, I don't know shit. Maybe that's a true story. Truthfully, when you steal a gun, you're doing it because... You don't steal a gun and go goose hunting. You steal a gun to do bad shit with. So maybe it's true. But man, this guy has a checkered past, and he's a fucking mayor. Now, again, so Marion Barry was a mayor of D.C., and he did some stuff, went to prison, got out, and got reelected. This guy just vaulted Marion Barry. Granted, it's D.C. versus Port Richey, but still, this guy smoked. Like,
this gives me an idea that maybe I can move to Florida and be a mayor of a city.
You know what? You can be governor.
I consistently say I'll never run for politics just because too many skeletons in my closet, but I feel like...
Oh, your skeletons are adorable, Steve.
I feel like my skeletons are teddy bears. And that I can actually... I feel like if I move to Port Richey right now...
This
like,
man has no credibility. He's never even been convicted of a felony. He has not been arrested once.
I feel like I can go down there and say, "Hey, I know you guys are going to have a mayor vacancy soon. I just want to throw my hat in the ring and see what's up."
My platform is, I'm better than that fucking guy. Oh, and this is so petty. But the picture that went associated with that
Jim,
article.
It's not petty.
It's petty.
It's not petty.
But it's real.
Because that motherfucker looked like
he looked like he was in a 3-day meth binge.
Yes. Yes. He looked like he had just spent a month with Belushi, Farley, and Jimmy
and Marion Barry.
And Marion Barry. Right? I mean, my man looked wild.
Oh, my goodness. You said the picture, and I hate to say this.
So I wonder, was that his picture from this week, or was that his picture from the last time he was arrested?
If you could ever get that, I hate to say this.
Or is that this picture? Is that the picture on the website for him being the mayor?
That's his poster, his campaign poster. "Vote for me, or I'll snort meth off your dog and kill you." Honestly, what a... Oh, God. All right. So that... good news, listeners. That is the most fucked up story of the day.
It's hard to be a gangster, it's, man.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. All right. So one other thing you sent me, though, and this is something I really want to talk to you about, is people coming after my girl AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, over the apartment she chose in D.C. Mm-hmm. Now... We didn't talk about this last week, and I wish we had, that she said some really dumb shit related to Amazon pulling out of their deal in New York. She talked about how we'll spend this money another way, and people on the right are crushing her, saying, it's money you're not going to get. Yeah. So, and that's, again, that's one of those things where I might not agree with Rush Limbaugh on a lot of things, but he's right about that. So,
Do you listen to Rush Limbaugh?
Sometimes.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't even know where to find him.
He's all over YouTube. Where did I listen to him? Just the other day I was listening to him for a little. Oh, no, actually, I saw an interview with him.
The last time I listened to his radio show was probably 2009.
You know what? The last time I saw him was actually Sunday, but he was a guest on Chris Wallace's show.
Okay.
And
anyway, little side.
Yeah. Not a consistent thing, but I try to spread around where I hear things from. Anyway, this is a legit criticism of AOC when she says, you know, the tax money we're not going to spend is like, no, dummy, you're losing out on a lot of money. Now, that doesn't mean that the greater point isn't a fair one, because Amazon coming in and bringing in $25,000 or $15 an hour jobs in New York, no one can work, no one can live in New York for $15 an hour in that part of New York. So there might have been flaws with the whole concept.
And, I mean, a lot of people were going to be coming from outside New York to fill those jobs, even though they said that they were going to be in New York. And it was going to create a housing crisis because where the fuck are those people going to live? And New York already right. has a terrible housing crisis. And the only reason I know that is because I work in fucking housing.
So. Right. And furthermore, she is a freshman congresswoman. She had no actual... She spoke her mind and did it badly, but she had actually no influence. I mean, this is a state-level thing, and she didn't do it. Having said that, she said some dumb shit, and she's getting run through the ringer.
Right, which happens... Like, she does this... On a, she does right. it on a, on a, it was becoming a consistent
base. She's a target, and she's giving ammo to those who want to shoot at her.
She feeds into it, and that's been my issue with her all along, is right. that I'll give her credit that she's young. I'll give her credit that she doesn't know the process, and that's good. I think that's good that we have someone that's not a career politician that
right.
is energetic and inspired.
Charismatic.
But her the issue with her is that she understands, like, she the funny thing about her is that she's not doing anything different than Donald Trump, right? She's actually taking his method of madness and actually doing his the model, same yeah. thing, right? Like, I mean, it's his model, you know.
Just it's spun just, the other direction.
But the problem is that if you're a supporter of hers, she misses on the facts a lot. Now, there have been times where Donald Trump has missed on the facts multiple times, and it hasn't hurt him, but it's actually not hurting her. Like, I mean, she's able to spin it and all those other things, and so she's kind of taking that model, and it's driving conservatives insane. Like, there's so many conservatives that are in, whether they're Congress, the Senate, that are just obsessed with trying to take her down.
Right.
Right, like they just
they view her as a threat.
Right, they do view her as a threat. Just, I mean, and I think at first they thought that they would be able to flick her away with a couple, you know, chide remarks or whatever. But she just keeps coming back. She's like an annoying small dog, right? Like, you just can't get rid of her. She's like a little fucking minpin, and you know, she keeps coming back. And like every time she comes back, she kind of grows in popularity and support and everything else. And she throws shit out there that isn't accurate or that isn't right or that isn't maybe well thought out, and. You know, and then they, you know, they jump all over her, and then she comes back and says, okay, but my broader point is this. And then, you know, just like, yeah, you're right. And then so, you know, the support for her continues to grow. But, you know, I've had my criticisms of her. I try not to be too hypercritical of every little thing that she does. And I'm glad that you are at least willing to say that she said something dumb.
She was because, really dumb, yeah.
Listen, a lot of her supporters won't even acknowledge when she says something wrong. Right, she can flat out say things that are not accurate, not true, or wrong, or just completely just whatever. And there's she can't be wrong, right? Like, you're just saying she's wrong because she's a brown woman,
right?
You know, what I mean, like, and so the fact that you're willing to at least acknowledge that, well, she said something wrong.
Come on, cut me a bit of slack. I've not been a flag waver for her. I've supported her to a degree, but I'm not all in on her.
Okay,
all right,
okay. I mean, I criticized her once, and you like lost your shit on that.
Okay, well, and I chose those words very badly.
But that being said, she's being criticized because she got an apartment in Washington, D.C.
Right. A fancy now, one.
Okay, let's just... First of all, every apartment... Listen, this is in it... I know I'm very intimate with this particular thing.
Sure.
My job, right, before I have my current job, was building apartments in Washington, D.C., Baltimore, yep. the Maryland area, in Virginia, right? Everywhere. Right, everywhere in that Baltimore, D.C., Virginia, that area.
So we got to drink together a few times because of your job and my job, both putting us in Frederick, Maine.
It was actually pretty cool. But that's what I did. I actually went there and I said, hey, I want to buy your land and I want to build a building here that people are going to live in.
Right.
Right, and then I did it, you know, and primarily it was for affordable housing with a few non-affordable, you know, market rate apartment buildings as well. So I'm very, very knowledgeable
yes.
of what the living conditions are and what the housing situation is in that area. I'm knowledgeable because I had to be. I literally paid thousands of dollars for market studies to be done to figure out what they were.
Okay.
So people are criticizing her because of where she's living. Where is she living? Well, she's living in the Navy Yard. Okay, well, where's the Navy Yard? The Navy Yard is a 15-minute walk away from where her office is.
Right.
Right. And where all your little fancy Washington, D.C. buildings are. Right. Like, so she's living in proximity to where she will be and where she is currently working.
In a city with horrific traffic.
Right. In a city where there's terrible traffic, where it's pointless to drive.
If you don't have to, don't do it. Right. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, and
yet so many people do.
And if you do, I mean, if it's a situation where you can't walk or you're not going to bike,
get on the metro.
Right. Like, I mean, their public transportation is better than a lot of places. So yeah. There's ways to get from point A to point B, but she's living close to where her office is going to be, and people are killing her because they're saying, well, the place where she's living is really expensive. A studio apartment is $2,000, and they've got 3-bedroom units that are up to $5,000. Right. Yep. Okay. Well, here's the deal, kids. Have you priced an apartment in Washington, D.C.? Because I have. And the average cost of a 1-bedroom apartment, and I just broke this down and actually ran the numbers really quickly, but if you look for a 1-bedroom apartment with a bathroom, not a bath and a half, just a bathroom.
Right.
Air conditioning.
Which you need there.
And I'm just saying basic things that you know, 1 bathroom, 1 bedroom, air conditioning, and controlled entrance, right? Controlled access, and I'm saying that because she's a fucking congresswoman.
Right.
Right? The average for that place is $2,500.
That does not shock me at all.
Right? I mean, so let's just think about that. Right? So chances are that's about what she's probably living in as a 1-bedroom. Now, maybe she splurged for 2 because she wants an office. Right? So if she wants a 2-bedroom, then obviously that goes up from there. But I'm saying just a 1-bedroom with a bathroom, air conditioning, and controlled access, then it's going to run you $2,300 to $2,500 a month.
Right.
That's
East Coast living, baby. That's, I mean,
that's pretty much the standard across D.C., right? And you can go further out. Can you find cheaper?
Maybe. Yeah, you have to reach a distance, though, right?
You got to reach a distance. I mean, now, mind you, listen, there are people who told me when I worked in Maryland that there's some consideration of considering Frederick, Maryland as a suburb of Washington, D.C.
You can say that because it does sprawl out, but it's a.
But think about
in rush hour, that's an hour and a half, if not more.
Think about how ridiculous that is, though. Think about how
it's 45. It's 45 miles.
Right. I mean, it's 45 miles away, and they're saying that this is a suburb of Washington, D.C. Now, there's no one who I think actually accepts that, and I think that's a lot of people from Frederick trying to say that, trying to boost their
own value. Yeah.
But the reality is that with the way D.C. works, as you go further and further away from the center, you would think that the rents would go down, that the cost of living would go down, but that's not true. Because your suburbs of D.C. and your suburbs, you know, the outer ring of Baltimore, those places are not cheap to live.
Right.
One, you're lucky if you can find an apartment to rent. And if you do, it's not going to be a budget rental. Right? I mean, it's just not. Like, I mean, so this idea that she was going to live in a $700 a month studio apartment, like that place doesn't exist. Right, and this idea that, like, okay, well,
and the fact that she's not living in a destitute place is, well, you're for the poor. Why aren't you for the poor?
There's people that are criticizing her, saying, like, well, why isn't she living in a mixed use building that has access for affordable housing? Well, one, we don't know that she doesn't. People are saying that she doesn't. I don't know for a fact. I don't know the development that she's living in, and I don't know if that development actually has, you know, if they accept low income housing or not. You know, okay. And people are saying that it doesn't, but I don't trust the media on this, on the people who are reporting back, because they wouldn't know the first way to figure that out. Even if it doesn't,
who cares?
Well, it matters because she stood on a platform like you have to have affordable housing, and if you're going to put in these luxury apartments, those luxury apartments should have affordable housing. Like, you know, people should, you know, lower income people should have access to that house.
Okay.
Okay, fine. And they're saying, well, she's living in this place and it doesn't have access, so she's a hypocrite. And my thing is, listen, she is a person who, whether you like it or not, she's a congressman. She's got a job to do. She needs a fucking place to live.
Right.
And a lot of your places where there is mixed use, a lot of times you don't know that it's mixed use, especially when you get into like the heart of D.C. And there's plenty of it there. And the reason is because when you do the mixed use and you do the low-income housing, you add that affordable component, like, it's guaranteed money for the developer, for the building owner, right? Like, so there's plenty of places in DC that actually have that Section 8 component, and you would never guess and you would never know that they have that Section 8 component unless you ask the question or you know how to actually go out and find that information.
Right.
So you can look at a building and just like, oh, well, on the 18th floor, they've got infinity pools and they've got all these amenities, so there's no way that they have Section 8. You don't know that unless you actually dig in to figure that out. And it also, again, it doesn't matter because you don't know if there's any place that has mixed use that actually has any availability. Like, trying to find an open apartment in Washington, D.C. is not something that where you just walk up to a build, like any building.
A friend of mine just went through that last year, and it was miserable for her.
Right. I mean, you have to look long and hard to find a place. And sometimes you may not find a place that's under $3,000 a month to rent. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation.
And her salary as a U.S. congresswoman is $174,000 a year.
So she's not going to be
making $13,000-$14,000 a month.
Right, like she can't go live in public housing, people. She makes. Like,
and after, why would you?
Listen, after taxes, she probably makes $4,500 a month, if not more.
Oh, no. It's like nine.
Oh.
It's like $9,000 a month. I did the math. So it's like $14,000 a month is her salary. So you knock out points, 65% of make 65% of that is roughly $9,500 a month.
What?
No. Four, yes.
Dude, she makes 174
a year.
Yeah.
Which is about $14,000 a month. 12 months in a year.
Okay.
So $14,000 a month, if you do the 35% of her taxes, it's around $9,000 a month. Mm-hmm. $9,000 a month in salary.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes, I was thinking I was going $4,500 to pay.
Sorry. Oh, okay.
Thinking she gets paid every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Then so $4,500 to pay,
$9,000 a month. So if you're putting three of that into where you live in a place like DC, and you're avoiding needing a car, and you're avoiding needing a parking space because those are two separate payments.
Even
if you're not, you can afford it. You don't need to live in a destitute place to care about people. And I'm not sure
who knows if she even has a car in DC. I wouldn't.
I wouldn't. No. If I could live 15 minutes from there,
part of me thinks that she doesn't, because that's why she's probably living in the Navy Yard.
Right. I mean, look,
this is a great bar in the Navy Yard that I love.
Okay.
And
sidebar.
Yeah.
That's cool. What's it called? Or don't you want to say?
I won't say.
All right.
It's a dump.
Okay.
it's one of the few.
You and I do share a fondness for dive bars, which is how we met.
It is a dump of dumps, especially for DC, because everything in DC is
so fucking fancy now. I lived in DC I lived in Rockville, Maryland, but I was in that area in 1989, right after I graduated from high school. And I went back there 2 years ago when I was on that project.
You did crack a Mary Mary.
I did not. But that was going on when I was there. That was going on.
I know.
That was going on. And the Douglas Wilder, and whoever the guy he beat, mayoral race in Virginia was going on. So I was there for the three-month window I was there. I saw some shit. And I still love Mary and Barry's defense. Mr. Mayor, we have you on video. We believe you were doing crack with a prostitute. Is this true? I was drinking so much in those days, I really can't tell you. That is great. That beats, it depends on what the definition of is. It was like, yeah, I was fucking hammered. How many times will I use that excuse on this show? And one person who can't use that excuse is, what's the name of this girl from Alabama that joined ISIS? I fucking forgot to write her name down.
Oh, but actually, I have it right here. And so my thing with her is pretty simple.
Okay. I thought we were going to butt heads on the AOC thing. We're going to be on the same page.
No. Hoda Muthana.
Okay.
Muthana, whatever.
Left the United States at age 20, was going a college student in Alabama, says she's going off to a college thing, gets a flight to Turkey, I believe, and finds her way to Syria.
And then she joins ISIS.
Or marries a guy from ISIS and becomes
And so now she has allegedly changed her mind, decided that ISIS is bad, she just wants to come home, and, alerted, I don't know, her family or somebody in the United States know she wants to come back, and President Trump has told,
Pompeo?
Pompeo, what is he, our Secretary of State?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't let her back in.
Yep.
And, you know what? I agree 100%. Fuck you. Don't come back.
I mean,
why would I believe this? You know what? I know I went to ISIS and I know they're a terrorist group and I know they can't stand us. But
I know I said a bunch of stuff about
right. I promise you, I haven't been radicalized. I promise you, I'm. Not, I promise you, I'm not going to strap a bomb to my chest and blow up my kid's school with my kid in the name of Allah. So just let me come back, and everything will be cool. No, bitch. No, you stay your ass right where you're at. Go fuck all the way off. Goodbye.
But my thought is, you can come back if you want, but you're going to jail for a long fucking time.
Nah.
I mean,
I'm not even wasting time putting you in jail. Just stay over there. Stay over there. I have no problem with that. Matter of fact, I need you to stay at longitude 1.3769, latitude here. And yeah, go ahead, send in the drone strike.
Please hold your iPhone up so we get good reception.
Yeah, so, and then we're going to go ahead and send in a drone strike, and problem resolved. We don't even have to worry about you or your kid coming back.
I mean, I'm with you. I don't know if I'd go so far as drone strike,
I would, but I'm not fighting you.
What's that?
I said I would, but I'm a dick.
I mean, there's certain things that you can get away with and call a practical joke. Joining ISIS ain't one of them.
I mean, a lot of people say, well,
can't you tell when someone's kidding?
If it were Obama, he'd let her back because of Bo Bergdahl.
What?
And I would say, you know, the difference with Bo Bergdahl is he abandoned his post allegedly because he wanted to go to another post to report an issue with the chain of command.
So I followed that story on the Serial podcast, and
right, and then you know he gets kidnapped and taken hostage,
right,
and you know for 5 years, and they didn't kill him, and then Obama does a switch, sends back three Al Qaeda or whatever operatives, and then we get Bo Bergdahl back, and then he
three
serves,
Guantanamo prisoners, yeah, who Guantanamo what their role was, right. We don't really know,
and then Bergdahl gets court-martialed and the whole thing, and I think he may still be fighting his
court battle.
His honorable or dishonorable discharge.
I think he may still be
fighting that, but which I don't know how.
The story is much more complicated when you listen to his interviews and.
It's fine. I mean, he's not the center of this conversation, but that story is different than what this is. This woman left this country, went there. And, you know, she went there with the intent to do what she did.
Right,
right. She went there with the intent. Now, some people
spent a lot of money and effort to get there.
Right. I mean, some people are saying that, well, he was working with Al-Qaeda or whoever the whole time. I don't know that. At least with his story, I mean, it sounds shitty. It's another one where the smell test, it just doesn't make sense. I'm going to leave my post and I'm just going to walk by myself, however many miles to another post in, where was he, Afghanistan?
Yeah.
And I'm going to just walk through enemy territory and should be good. When I get to the other post, I'm going to give them all this information. Like, that sounds like...
I'll just direct people to season 2 of Serial if you want to hear more about it. I won't reiterate it. I'm not fully pro Bergdahl. I'm just saying I learned a lot listening to those interviews and the interviews of people.
But I'm saying it's a different scenario. It's a different scenario.
Obama, leaving Alabama, which I can understand that part. But leave Alabama and go someplace that doesn't suck. God. Yeah, I said it.
Alabama's not a nice place.
I've only been there a couple times, and I'm not upset. I have a few friends from there, and I love Alabama. I'm like, okay, you love it all you want.
The only way you could get me to Alabama is if I was in Tuscaloosa.
Say head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Right.
Or athletic director. You'd probably rather be an athletic director than a head coach.
I would much rather be an athletic director. You don't have the pressure of the winning and the losing, and you make a shit ton of money, and you get to tell the NCAA that we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and we're going to take money from kids or whatever.
I don't want to totally diverge, but when...
I don't know. That issue with Zion Williamson is under my skin.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go there because, I mean, as far as this lady from Alabama who wants to rejoin the United States... Sorry.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I just wanted to bring that up. Like, I completely agree with Trump and Pompeo.
This is one of the few things that liberals and conservatives seem to agree on. It's like, fuck off. Out of here.
Right.
I had my liberal comic friends saying, no, on Facebook.
I don't believe that she wants to come back. I believe that she's just been radicalized and they're trying to reintroduce her into the country. And I think that they somehow thought that if she... appeal to the, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, and I'm still a true American patriot, that somehow they can get her back in. Screw that. don't care what happens to her. I really don't care what happens to her. I actually hope horrible things happen to her. I do.
I'm not there, but I'm certainly not shedding a tear if it does.
Terrible.
All right, so you want to talk about Zion Williamson for a minute?
Yeah.
We're right at an hour, so we're good.
So Zion Williamson, he is a he's currently at Duke University. He's a freak of nature. He's 6'8", 280 pounds. You know, he's like LeBron James, basically thick, you know, younger athletic, brother.
Right.
You know, he's super athletic. He can shoot. He can, you know, he dunks everything. Like his, you know, his field goal percentage is 68%.
Because he's never shooting for more. No, but he does shoot from the outside.
He does shoot. He's a more willing shooter than fucking Ben Simmons, right? And
right.
Ben Simmons is a really good player.
Former number one overall pick.
Right, but refuses to shoot the basketball. But, I mean, the kid's a freak of nature. I mean, he's giant. And, I mean, he's a talented guy. And last night, he's playing for Duke.
At Duke
at Cameron Indoor Arena. They're playing University of North Carolina. And if you don't know, University of North Carolina and Duke are separated by, I think, what, like
15 miles?
20 miles.
Yeah, somewhere on that.
They call it Tobacco Road. North Carolina's a big tobacco state, blah, blah, blah. And it's a massive game. Barack Obama was there. And the ticket price for that game, because the arena is so small, was $2,300. If you wanted to buy a ticket last night to get into that game, you had to pay $2,300. And for a fact, we know people paid that price to get in to see that game, to watch this kid and a few other kids on that Duke team play.
Right.
First 30 seconds of the game, Zion gets the ball. He dribbles. He fakes left, goes right, and his shoe, which is a Nike shoe, the Paul George Nike whatever, it literally blows out.
Yeah.
Right? It just blows out and like goes up his ankle. Right? The sole is just destroyed. And the shoe looks like an ankle brace, you know, a third of the way up his leg. And he sprained his knee. He should be okay. You know, the debate on all the sports talk show was, should he finish the season? Should he, you know, shelf it? And, you know, the debate about amateurism and everything else. And, you know, those are things that we've talked about. One, if I'm him, I'm not finishing the year.
I saw you put on Facebook, like, I'm calling Nick Bosa right now.
Right, if I'm Zion, I said Zion Williamson is looking for Nick Bosa's phone number right now.
Sorry to misquote you.
No, it's fine. I think in that particular instance, like, I'm a big guy that I'm a big believer in, you know, if you start the season, finish it. But in Nick Bosa's case, and in both Zion Williamson's case, where you're going to be the number one overall pick or the top five pick.
Right.
And you have generational money on the line. And with Zion going to the NBA where the contracts are slotted, it's a little bit different than Nick Bosa's situation because Nick Bosa is going to make a lot more money at the top end, where the NBA guys, like, the money is a lot similar for the rookies. But Zion still has a massive shoe deal coming, which Nike thought they were going to get that deal. And considering he was wearing a Nike,
I hadn't thought of that.
There's a chance that they probably will not get that deal. Now, I think Duke has a deal with Nike. So
if Zion Williamson is looking for Nick Bosa's number, Adidas and Reebok are looking for Zion Williamson.
Right, phone. Adidas, Reebok, Under Armour, Puma, Stephen Jim's
Keds.
Stephen Jim's fancy shoes.
Skechers.
Right.
Stephen Jim's fancy shoes. Hey, Zion, if you're listening, we will make a shoe for you that will not explode on your foot.
Stitch the shit out of some leather for you. So, it just...
And I used to work as a shoemaker. My grandfather was a shoemaker.
I didn't know your grandfather was a shoemaker.
I worked for him as a kid.
Okay. Well,
Zion, you got experience.
Right, and I've got fashion sense. So,
Between the two of us, are you suggesting that I don't? Yes, you are. Yes.
Very much so.
I'm glad we're not on YouTube for this one. Video for YouTube. We will be on YouTube.
All that being said, it's unfortunate what happened to him.
Yeah.
And you hope that he gets a speedy recovery. I also believe that he should shut it down. If he were a guy who was going to get drafted 15, I would say, you know what, get yourself right, finish up the season, you know, and see what you can do, and maybe you can help improve your draft stock.
Right.
Or just the loyalty to your team and your teammates. This is a little bit different situation. And listen, it's not all the same. It's not all fair. And when you're that level of talent with the expectations at the next level, then you have to take all those, like, you have to make business decisions even though you're a fucking amateur. right? That's just the reality of the situation. You have to make, you know, you have to make projected business decisions based on your amateurism and the fact that, you know, this situation happened. Like, think about it. He's got to go, like, if he were to go back and play, then guess what? Nike, Duke has got a contract with Nike. He's got to put shoes, Nike shoes back on. If I'm him, I'm like, fuck you, fuck that. You know, I mean, like, and listen, who could blame the kid? You know, I mean, because the reality is, like, listen, Shaq was way bigger than Zion.
Sure.
Way bigger his entire career and never had anything like that happen to him. But Shaq still was through Reebok. You know, and it doesn't, and is Reebok shoe any better than Nike? Probably not. I mean, they I mean, no. This is probably a one-off sort of deal. It just, it was a freak thing, whether it was a defect in the shoe or just all things.
Or the kid making 3 cents an hour making that shoe had a bad day. I mean,
well, any combination talking about
minimum,
of things.
Minimum wage.
But the bottom line is, you know, maybe he doesn't want to get back into those shoes. So I just think my whole deal with the amateurism in college sports is I never believe that NCAA or the school should pay the players because, frankly, it's just never going to be equitable and it's never going to be fair. Even though I get that fairness is just, it's never, like, fairness, it's just, like, if you're talking about paying people, it's never...
Life isn't fair.
Life ain't fair, kids. But to make it the most equitable, what I would say is, instead of the schools paying, because Duke basketball, North Carolina basketball, Ohio State football, Alabama football, USC, Texas are always going to be able to pay more than a UMass or West Virginia or North Texas or Baylor or Troy, right? Sure. And so what I will say is let the kids be able to sell their likeness. Let the kids be able, if they want to go to a car dealership and stand in front of a fucking Corvette and Jim Bob Cooter wants to pay this kid $20,000 to stand there for 2 hours, then let Jim Bob make that terrible fucking investment.
Oddly, there is a professional coach named Jim Bob Cooter.
And I realized I got that name
but
from.
But it's funny because you said that name was a random...
I started down the road of Jim Bob and I got to Cooter and I was like, God damn it, that's a real person. So, but if that guy wants to make that bad investment, then let him make... That's on him making that bad investment. But that kid should be able to sell his likeness. Right, if that kid signs a jersey, that kid should be able to sign a jersey. And someone says, "Here's $1,000 for that jersey." That kid should be able to take that money and do whatever the fuck he wants with it. Right? It's free market. It's capitalism. Like, we're all capitalists, right? Unless it involves college students.
Right.
Right. And don't give me this shit about they get a free education. The fucking education costs, to educate a kid costs the school nothing. Right. Like, I mean, like, let's just.
And the value of the education they get is often not, I mean, they're way more true. About, well, look, I mean, you're a legit student-athlete, but there are a lot of student-athletes that get shoved through the system.
Your education is all based on you, right? It's all, what you get in, what you get out is what you put in, right? Like, so,
Smith, who I know you're not a fan of, literally got punished by the school for studying.
He did. And that's legit. But Robert Smith said, fuck it, and still studied, and then went on.
He is an exception
to the rule. He's not an exception to the rule. There's plenty of kids who go, I mean, like, listen, only 1%, less than 1% of college athletes go on to play professional sports.
Right.
Right? And a majority of your college athletes.
And less than 1% of them in basketball and football and baseball, which are the revenue sports, and hockey, which are the revenue sports, the volleyball players and the, you know.
Right. I mean, but you still have to say, I mean, even if you just narrow it to your revenue sports, football, basketball, for some baseball. Reason you're including hockey and baseball, but fine.
Hockey matters to some people.
But I mean, it can matter. It's not a revenue generating sport. I mean, well.
And like five schools it is, but okay.
But the point is, even if you narrow it down to those, you still have a small percentage of those kids who go on to the pros.
Sure.
Right? And a majority of the kids don't go to the pros, and they have to figure something out. What they do with their college education is completely on them. And the idea that, well, because they're athletes, that we're going to hold them to a different standard than the other kids who are going to school. How many kids go to school, don't play a sport, don't wake up before noon, don't go to any classes, they live off of pizza, they smoke weed, they graduate with a C average, and then they go on to work at fucking whatever bank or go into whatever sort of marketing or whatever, and they end up being perfectly fine and perfectly successful.
Okay.
Right? Like, so, I mean, like, don't give me this whole bullshit about, oh, the value of their education. The value of education is what they put into it. And the cost of that education, right, the cost of that education is negligible, right? What's the cost of the education? Well, ultimately, it's what the school has to pay the teachers and what they have to pay to keep the lights on and everything else.
Sure.
Right? And your sport, your athletes make up a minuscule number of the people who go to the school.
The amount of money that they bring in versus the amount of money it costs to educate them exclusively is a very flip ratio.
Right. right? Like, so we can punt on the whole idea of the cost of the fact that they're getting a free education.
I agree. Right?
And I don't care that your kid has to pay for an education or that you had to pay for an education. I'm sorry that you weren't talented enough or smart enough to get a scholarship. Life's not fair. Please fuck off.
I mean, I don't know that I want to end on that note, but probably not.
I did both.
Okay.
I went to college for free, and I paid to go to law school.
Right.
Right?
And,
I mean,
I went to the first one, and the second one didn't. I went to a state school because I could afford it, and my family could afford it, and I didn't go to Harvard or MIT, and I have expressed a bit of a chip on my shoulders towards those institutions at times.
But here's the thing.
But hey, I've done just fine for myself, haven't I?
You have, but you also didn't generate millions of dollars of anything. No one paid to see you do shit at school. True.
Right? And I mean, I remember having this conversation with a guy in college when it was Emmitt Smith had just signed
the deal with the Cowboys.
It was the biggest deal either for a running back or maybe for a player in NFL history. And some guy says, why does he deserve $5 million a year? And I looked at the guy and said, because no one's going to pay $100 for a seat to watch you or I do calculus.
Period. And it
was funny as the NBA later on did a commercial where a bunch of athletes were watching a kid do calculus.
And I'm yes.
Like, it was a great commercial, but it was bullshit.
Yes.
Having said that, you want to watch me derive that? No.
I don't want to watch you derive anything.
Derive anything. Anything else you want to talk about? Decent whiskey? Good conversation?
Yeah, absolutely.
At Whiskey Congress?
Well, no, there's nothing else I want to talk about.
At Whiskey Congress?
Absolutely. Whatever.
Funny conversations, whatever. At Whiskey Congress on all social media. Finish him. Jim at WhiskeyCongress.com. Steve at WhiskeyCongress.com if you want to email us. We've got some good numbers lately, so thank you very much. And
thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. We're out of here.